الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، باب الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. قال الله تعالى: ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون. وقال تعالى: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. وقال تعالى: خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. وقال تعالى: والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، إلى غير ذلك من الآيات. This is 23rd chapter of the book Riyadu Salihin, titled Al-Amru Bil-Ma'rufi Wal-Nahyu Anil Munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah starts this chapter by quoting some verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to this topic. The first one is the verse of Surah Ali Imran, in which Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. There should be amongst you a group of people who invite and call people towards the good, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and they enjoin what is good, وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and they forbid the evil, or they forbid the people from committing evil acts. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and they are the ones who are truly successful. In this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ, there should be a group of people amongst you. And based on these words in this ayah, the scholars have said that this obligation of Amr bil Ma'roof, Nahy al Munkar, Da'wah, calling people to the good, enjoining good, forbidding evil, this is Fard Kifaya. Fard Kifaya means that this is something that is obligatory, but not at every single individual. Not on every single individual. Rather, if there are few people within any community, within a society, who take upon themselves this responsibility and they call people to the good and they enjoin the good and forbid the evil, then the obligation will be fulfilled by the whole community, the whole society. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٍ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Why not amongst you a group of people come forward and they understand the deen in depth, they obtain the fiqh and the deep knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, and then they warn their people when they go back to them after seeking knowledge, after comprehending the deen of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. They go back to them and they warn them against the punishment of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, meaning they forbid the evil and they enjoin the good. So in this ayah, in that ayah which is in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also highlighted that point, that it is sufficient that some people within any community or any society take upon themselves this responsibility. But it does not mean that if there is a group of people who have dedicated their time, their life, their efforts for the da'wah and for Amr bil Ma'roof, Nahi Munkar, then no one in the community should carry out this responsibility. No, this is not the meaning of this. This is very similar to any other fard kifaya. For example, another example of fard kifaya is offering salatul janaza. Offering salatul janaza. So when a Muslim dies, then it becomes an obligation upon the whole community to perform Salatul Janazah for that Muslim, for the deceased Muslim. It is an obligation upon every single member of the community, every single person within the community, it becomes fard. Until some people gather together and they perform the janazah. Once they have done so, then the obligation will be lifted from the rest of the community. This is what the fard kifaya means. That initially it is fard upon everyone. It is fard and obligation upon everyone. Until some people carry out this responsibility and this obligation, then it will be lifted. And even when a group of people carry out that particular obligation, it does not mean that the rest cannot take part in it. Rather, they can also take part in it according to their capacity, according to their knowledge, according to their times and efforts, they can do so. Again, as I said, fard kifaya, janazah is fard kifaya. It does not mean that only the member of the family of the deceased or only the close relatives have this obligation to offer Salatul Janazah. Rather, when we offer Salatul Janazah in the masjid, anyone who is present in the masjid should take part in Salatul Janazah in order to gain the reward. Likewise, Amr bil Ma'aruf, Nahy al Munkar, the mission of the da'wah, this is open to everyone. Every single Muslim should try to take part in it. Then obviously, people are different according to the understanding of the deen, according to the level of their knowledge, according to their efforts and time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُوا قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than the one who calls people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised those who have dedicated their life, their time, their efforts for the da'wah to Allah dhul jalal ikram, to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this ayah of Surah Al-Imran, Allah dhul jalal ikram says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ. Amongst you should be a group of people, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, who call others to khayr, to good. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and then they enjoin the good. So there are two things that are mentioned in this ayah. First one is يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, that they call the people to good. And then يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ. أَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ نَهْيَ الْمُنْكَرِ. These are the two things that are quite often mentioned in the Quran together. Amr bil ma'roof, nahy al munkar. Enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. They go both hand in hand, both together. But before them, before Amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar, you have da'wah. Da'wah comes first. Basically, you call the people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You explain them. You give them knowledge. You call them to the khair, to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after you have fulfilled your obligation, your responsibility of calling the people to the deen of Allah, if anyone makes any mistake, then at that point you have amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. You cannot simply go and say, I'm going to fulfill the obligation of amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar, when you did not have even conveyed the message to the people. So the first obligation is ad-da'wa ila al-khayr. As Allah says in this ayah, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Amongst you should be a group of people who call others and invite others to khayr. This is the first step. And unfortunately, many of those who have passion for the da'wah and amr bil ma'roof and munkar, they lack in understanding this ayah and also similar ayats. They do not understand the wisdom and the hikmah and the usloob of the da'wah. People think that their fard is only amr bil ma'roof and nahy munkar. But what about this ayah? In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ad-da'wah ila al-khayr before amr bil ma'roof and nahy munkar. For example, you never convey the message of offering 5 daily prayers to someone within your relatives, for example. You never talk to them. One day you come across that individual amongst your relatives or amongst your friends or in your neighborhood, and you start saying, you know, offering 5 daily prayers is fard. If you do not do so, then this will be the punishment. No, subhanAllah, this is not the way to call people to the khair. First, you need to explain them. You need to explain them why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated us to offer our salah 5 times a day. And you convey them. You convey the message of this obligation to them. You explain to them. You give them. You call them and you invite them to the khair. And then after that, al-amr bil-ma'roof and nahy munkar. You have fulfilled your responsibility, and this is what the ulama and the scholars have said, that you first establish the hujjah. You present the evidence and the proofs, and then after that it comes the stage of amr bil-ma'roof and nahy munkar. And then obviously amr bil-ma'roof and nahy munkar, this is also another obligation you have to fulfill. Yes, sometime what happens that you know that the person has enough knowledge and the person understands and he knows what is permissible, what is not permissible, and he is committing the sins deliberately. Then in that case, yes, then straight away amr bil ma'roof and nahy munkar. You go to the second stage. But always remember, the first stage is da'wah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly mentioned in the Quran, ud'u ila sabili rabbik. For example, the word da'wah and the obligation of da'wah is highlighted in the Quran, and it is other than amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'izati al hasana. Call towards the path of your Lord with wisdom and al maw'izati al hasana, and with good advice and admonition. And then Allah says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And if there is need to have a dialogue or discussion or even argument or debate, then it must be in a good way and a good manner. And that stage comes after. First is udu, da'wah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my path, the path of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I call people to Allah, and everyone who follows me also call people, they call others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala basira. And they call others ala basira. While they have their strong knowledge, they have their good understanding what they are calling the people to. So da'wah is the first stage, and then after that al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahy munkar. And then those who take upon themselves this responsibility, to carry out this obligation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the ones who are truly successful. In another ayah, Allah dhul jalali ikram says, within Surah Al-Imran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You, the followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the best of the nations, the best of the ummah. Ukhrijat linnas, you have been raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof, so that you enjoin the good. Wa tanhauna 'anil munkar, and you forbid the evil. Wa tu'minuna billah, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, in this particular ayah, Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram made the mention of Iman after Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahy al Munkar. Few verses later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the mention of the people of the book. Allah says, Laysu sawa'a min ahli al-kitabi ummatun qa'imatun yatluna ayatillahi ana al-layli wa hum yasjudun ya'muruna bil ma'roofi wa yanhauna al munkar. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when makes the mention of them, Allah Dhul Jalali Ikram does not mention the action of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahy Munkar first. Rather, Allah Dhul Jalali Ikram makes the mention of the other actions, such as the tilawa and the recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Torah and Injil. And then after that Allah says, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They believe in Allah and they do amr bil ma'roof and nahi munkar. So when Allah makes the mention of the people of book, He mentions Iman first and then amr bil ma'roof and nahi munkar. But when Allah mentioned this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He mentioned amr bil ma'roof and nahi munkar first and then later Iman. Why? The scholars have said the reason behind this is that amr bil ma'roof and nahi al munkar is something that is basically something that goes hand in hand with Iman. Or in other words, no mu'min, no believer, no Muslim can be a true Muslim and complete mu'min until and unless they fulfill this obligation of amr bil ma'roof and nahi al munkar. And it is also a sign that this is something that has been assigned to every single, this is an obligation that has been assigned to every single Muslim, every single believer. Obviously, as I said earlier on, according to each individual's capacity and knowledge. But no one is exempted from this. So because it is the obligation of every single Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted it after Iman. Another reason that the scholars have mentioned is that when it comes to the matter of Iman, the Muslim and the people, the mu'min and the followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the people of the book, the Jews and the Christian, when it comes to the matter of Iman, they may be equal amongst those Jews and Christians who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who do not associate partners with Allah dhul jalal ikram. They may be equal in the matter of Iman. But one thing that actually distinguishes the Muslims from the non-Muslims is Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahj al Munkar. Another reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahj al Munkar before Iman is to highlight the importance and significance of this obligation as opposed to what the Ahlul Kitab did. As Allah says in the Quran, لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم. Those who disbelieved amongst the children of Israel, amongst Banu Israel, those who disbelieved, they were cursed by the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam and Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam, because of what? كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر. They used not to forbid each other, one another, from committing sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted this matter to the believers, that in order for you to protect your iman, in order to be a complete mu'min, you have to carry out this responsibility and do not be like those who were before you amongst the people of the book. So that is why Allah dhul jalal ikram says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. And it also shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah preference over the previous ummahs just because of this matter. Just because of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never says in the Quran that you, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are the best of the nations because you said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because you believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No. Allah never says that you are the best of the people because you have the best of the books. No. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best of the nations because of what? That ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhawuna al munkar. That you do amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. You enjoin the good and forbid the evil. So it shows the significance and importance of amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. As he said, every single Muslim has this obligation. According to their capacity, according to their knowledge and their understanding of the deen of Allah dhul jalal ikram. Imam al-Nawawi rahmahullah then mentioned another ayah, which is from Surah Al-A'raf, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. In this particular ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving him the instructions with regards to the da'wah. The first one is خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, that you must adhere to pardoning and forgiving. You must forgive others. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and then أَمْرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Then you enjoin the good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ and turn away from the foolish people. So there are three commandments in this ayah. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. First one is adhere and hold on to pardoning and forgiving. Meaning this is something that is compulsory and this is one of the main qualities that the da'i must have. Forgiving others. Because when you call people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not always welcomed. Rather, in fact, most of the time you are criticized. People will curse you. People will swear at you. People will criticize you. People will abandon you. Your own relatives may cut ties with you. But in all of that, خُذِ الْعَفُ. You have to adhere to pardoning. You must forgive others. You must forgive others. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another ayah in Surah Fussilat, when Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than the one who calls the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he proclaims that he is amongst the Muslims. And then in the following ayah Allah says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and evil can never be equal. إِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Push away the evil with something that is good. Meaning if someone does any wrong, if someone wrongs you, you must not react in the same way. As a da'i particularly, as someone who has passion for the da'wah, you must have patience. That is why a few weeks ago we mentioned that Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say that Surah al-Asr is the surah that is the unsur of the Islam. This is the main essence of Islam. If you were to pay attention to that surah and were to understand that surah, that covers every single aspect of the life of a Muslim and particularly the da'i. Someone who calls people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must have great level of patience. Without patience, you cannot carry out this obligation. If, for example, if you say that, you know, you cannot control yourself and you cannot be patient. If someone says something to you, you cannot control yourself and you become angry, then my dear brother, you are in the wrong field. This is not for you then. Look at the example of the prophets and your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way he was harmed, the way he was wronged, the way he was, you know, he was cut off. And what kind of oppression he did not face. Any kind of oppression that you imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. His own relatives, his own tribe abandoned him to the level that he was forced to leave the best of the land on this earth, the best Makkah al-Mukarramah. And he had to leave. And he was shedding the tears when he left Makkah al-Mukarramah. And who were those who forced him to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah? His own people, his own tribe, his own relatives. But when it comes to me and you, we claim that we have passion for the da'wah and we really want our relatives to be practicing Muslims and we invite them to offer the salah and abandon and leave and give up all the khurafat and shirk and innovation. But when it comes to the matter of patience, most of us, we lack patience. We cannot have patience. We cannot have sabr with them. So then this means that you have not truly understood the concept of da'wah and the obligation, and you did not understand how to carry out this obligation of amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, خُذِ الْعَفُ. Before amr bil ma'roof, you need to bear in mind, before enjoining the good, before inviting the people to the good, you must bear in mind that you will have to forgive people. You will have to forgive people. And then, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And then, when you invite people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you enjoin the good, people will act as an ignorant people and foolish. You will come across. You do not need to pay attention to such people. أعرض عن الجاهلين. Turn away from them and continue with your mission. And this is what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him great success within the short period of 10 years when he alayhi salatu wasalam arrived in Madina al-Munawwara. Within the short period of 10 years, he was forced to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, and actually not even 10 years, 8 years later, he entered into Makkah al-Mukarramah and he conquered Makkah. The very same land from where he was forced to leave. The land he was forced to leave. And this was all due to the wisdom and the hikmah of the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why in some of the Islamic institutes and some of the universities, there is a particular faculty that is called faculty of da'wah. For example, in the University of Madina al-Munawwara, many of the graduates of Medina, they have studied under in that faculty, and that is called the faculty of da'wah, kulliyatu da'wah. And in that faculty, what they teach actually, the usloob of the da'wah, the way to call the people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another ayah in Surah Tawbah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Believing men and believing women, they are friends of each other. Believing men, they are friends of, they are close, and they are close friends of the believing men. And believing women, they are friends to the believing women. Why? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. Because amongst themselves and also all together, they enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And this is the way of having the friendship according to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and according to this ayah of the Quran. The true believers are those who are friends to each other. They are friends to each other because of Amr bil Ma'aruf and Nahy Munkar. If you have a friend who does not pray, someone who commits all kinds of sins, and you are friend, and you are, alhamdulillah, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are regular in your 5 daily prayers, and you never enjoin the good, and you never advise him, you never forbid him from committing sins, then you are not a good friend. The believers are truly friends to each other because of Amr bil Ma'aruf and Nahj al Munkar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَ بْنِ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. The disbelief, those who disbelieved amongst Bani Israel, amongst the children of Israel, they were cursed by the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam, meaning Dawood alayhi salam cursed them, and then after that, Isa alayhi salam also cursed them. Why? ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا. This was because they disobeyed Allah and disobeyed Allah's messengers. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. And they used to cross the boundaries. They used to transgress. كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَمْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They used not to forbid one another from committing sins. They would see one another committing sins. But just because of their friendship, because of someone would be close to them, they would feel shy, they would feel embarrassed to ask them or to advise them that this is something that is wrong, something that is forbidden, something that is haram, something that is not permissible. They would shy away from it. Allah says, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَمْ مُنْكَرٍ. One of their sins because of which they were cursed by the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. And what does curse mean? What does la'na mean? That these prophets asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to throw these people away from his mercy and not to shower his mercy upon them. This is the meaning of the curse. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهِ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا. And whoever is cursed by Allah, you can never find any helper for him. No one can help him. We are all always in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those, Allah, in this particular ayah, Allah did not say that those who committed sin, they were cursed. No. Allah did not say those who committed sin, they were cursed. Rather, those who were friend to those committed sins, and they never forbid them. And they never advise them. They were cursed. They used to be friend with them. And they never advise them to give up that sin. And Allah says, لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. The evil indeed is what they have been doing. The evil act. Allah says in another ayah in Surah Al-A'raf, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. So Allah says in that particular passage of the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, that amongst Bani Israel, there were three categories of people. There were three kinds of people. The first one were those who used to commit sins. The second one were those who used to forbid them. They used to forbid them and they would advise them. And they would tell them that this is what you're doing, it is wrong, it is haram, it is not permissible. You are disobeying Allah, you are disobeying Allah's messenger. They used to advise them. This was the second category, completely opposite. And third one were those who used to say that, لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُلِكُمْ. Why do we need to continue advising them? Leave them alone. They are committing sins. So they leave their matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will deal with them. اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. Allah will destroy them. Allah will punish them. Allah will deal with them. So why do you need to take this burden upon yourself to continue advising them and always telling them that this is haram, this is wrong, this is wrong? Those who used to forbid, those who used to carry out the responsibility and the obligation of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar, Allah says, they said, مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. We do so in order to present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an excuse, a reason, and to have basically our excuse before Allah that, oh Allah, we tried our best and this is our excuse. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. At the same time, they may fear Allah. So we know these people are very stubborn and they continue committing sins. But we at the same time have to continue fulfilling our responsibility, our obligation. We never know, one day they may have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَ الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His punishment on them, on Bani Israel, Allah says, we saved only those who used to forbid the evil. Which means what? That those who were committing sins, they were destroyed. And those who kept quiet, they also were destroyed. Because they never realized the danger or the outcome of keeping quiet when you see an evil, a sin happening before your eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. And Allah says, أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. And we saved, we gave najah and salvation to those, only those who used to forbid the evil. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Those Bani Israel who were cursed by the tongue of Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, they were cursed because they used not to forbid one another from committing evil acts. And indeed, this was an evil act what they've been doing. This action itself was an evil. The scholars have said, with regards to the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy Munkar, that there are some conditions for anyone to carry out the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy Munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evils. First and foremost, as I just said, the person who carries out this obligation and this task of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, the person himself and herself must be aware of the good and the evil. They must know what is good and what is correct and what is wrong. Because without having the knowledge of the right and wrong, you may end up calling people to the wrong, and you basically earn more and more sins. Whereas you may think that you are calling people to the good. For example, those who call people to bid'ah and innovations. Okay, if you do not know, for example, if you have seen some people doing something that apparently appears good, okay, before you call others to do that good, something that apparently seems good, you need to clarify. You need to understand whether it has any evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before you go ahead and you start calling people to that matter that you think is a good. And one of the clear examples that I can give with regards to this is, nowadays, you know, every one of us, we receive a lot of messages on WhatsApp. And we see a lot of messages on, obviously, on social media, on Facebook, Instagram. You may come across a post, or someone may have sent you a message that seems very good. For example, if you were to read Salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Jum'ah after Salatul Asr, you will get the reward of one complete Hajj and Umrah. SubhanAllah, it looks great reward. You may think, okay, you know, this is something very good. Let me pass this message on to others so that I can also earn the reward. Anyone who acts upon this, obviously, the hadith of Rasulullah says, "Man dalla ala khairin fahuwa kafa'ili." Whoever calls anyone to the good, he will get the reward, same as the one who acts upon them. So let me earn that reward. And you start sharing that message. Whereas your responsibility and your obligation was to first and foremost verify it. If you do not know, you do not share the message. Never share the message on social media. And unfortunately, this is a widespread problem nowadays. And especially on WhatsApp. Someone may send you a hadith. Even sometimes what happens, a person sends you a message and underneath, at the end of the message, they say, narrated by Bukhari, narrated by Muslim. And it's a clear lie. Before you pass on the message to others, it is your responsibility to verify. If you have a book of the Bukhari with you, you must check it. If you do not have it, you know, approach someone knowledgeable, someone, you know, who have the knowledge, and you verify with them. If they confirm, then go ahead and bismillah, and then earn the reward. But if you do not know, never share the message without verification. And it's very, very important nowadays. And sometimes, if you advise people not to share these kind of messages, people get very upset. SubhanAllah, I'm sharing something good and you are trying to stop me from sharing good? Brother, yes, you are not sharing good. In reality, you think that you are sharing good, but in reality, you are sharing evil. Why? Because if it has no evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, it means that you have lied upon Allah and His Messenger. And lying upon Allah and His Messenger is an evil. مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأَ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever lies upon me, he should take his place in the fire of hell. One of the major sins. To associate something to the prophets of Allah, to Rasulullah ﷺ, something that he never said, something that he never did. And you say Allah's Messenger said this. Oh, this is a hadith. This is one of the serious, one of the major sins. So, yes, you may think that you are sharing the good, but in reality, you are spreading the evil. That is why this is one of the basic conditions for the person who does amr bil ma'roof and nahi munkar, that the person must know and must differentiate between right and wrong. But the person must know what is correct and what is not correct. Another condition that the scholar have said, that the person who carries out this task of da'wah and amr bil ma'roof and nahi munkar is, before you go ahead and start talking to someone and asking them to give up that sin and this and that, you need to verify if the person is actually committing that sin. You cannot just simply by hearing someone saying that a person is involved in this sin or that sin, and you go ahead and you start blaming that person, accusing that person, and you say, you know, you have to give it up. The person, subhanAllah, he may never know. And the person may be surprised, you know, what you are talking about. I never committed this mistake. So you need to first and foremost know that the person is in reality doing something wrong. For example, you did not see one of your friends attending this masjid for a few days. It does not mean that you go ahead and you start saying, you know, for so many days you never offered the salah. And you know this abandoning the salah or missing the salah is one of the major sins. No, this is not the way. He may have attended another masjid, or he may have traveled to another city or out of country. So you must have husnul dhan and must verify before you accuse anyone of committing any kind of sin. Yes, if you know for sure that the person is involved in sin, then you take the next step and then you advise them to give up their sin and you advise them to come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we find in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was delivering the khutbah and he saw someone enter into the masjid and he sat down. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, he said, "Asallayt? Have you offered any salah?" He said, "No." So this was verification. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the khutbah, he asked him, "Have you offered any salah?" Before sitting down, he said, "No." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, "Qum fasalli rak'atayn." You stand up and then offer two rak'ah. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said to him, in first place, he saw him entering into masjid and he sat down, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said to him, stand up and pray two rak'ah. Before instructing him, he alayhi salatu wasalam verified and asked him, "Have you offered?" Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have thought that the person may have offered two rak'ah probably by the door of the masjid, or he probably did not know. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verified and then he enjoined the good. And this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the correct way of doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar. Another condition that the scholars have said with regards to the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar is that when you forbid someone from committing a sin or from committing an evil, you must make sure that you stop them or you try to advise them from committing sin only if you know that they are not going to fall into a greater sin. If you know that the person is not going to fall into a greater sin. For example, you are sitting in a gathering and you know someone who is swearing, someone who is doing something evil. Or even, for example, you are in a gathering where someone is, say for example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid us all, someone is drinking. And you go ahead and you say, "No, drinking is haram, get up, leave this majlis, and this is something you're doing wrong." Then what happened? The person may leave their gathering and he may go straight to the pub. And it means you are the one who have pushed him to fall into a major sin, a greater sin. Another example of this is what we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very famous hadith. The Prophet sallallahu was in the masjid and the companions were around him, they were with him alayhi salatu wasalam, sitting in the masjid. A Bedouin came and one of the corner of the masjid he started urinating. The companions straight away they stood up and they started basically, you know, they started telling him off, you know, "What are you doing in the masjid?" The Prophet ﷺ stopped them. "Stop. Let him continue urinating." He was urinating in the corner of the masjid. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ understood this matter. He knew that if he were to be stopped from committing that evil there, it would lead to a greater evil. What would be the greater evil? That he would run around and he would basically, his urine will be splashing in other parts of the masjid. It will be even worse. Then the Prophet ﷺ stopped them. So this is one of the conditions. Before you go ahead and stop and start, you know, forbidding the evil, you must judge the situation. You must know and see that the person you are trying to advise is not going to fall into a greater sin. So this is also one of the conditions. Another condition that the scholars have said is that the person who enjoins the good and he forbids the evil, in that particular matter, the person himself, the da'i himself, must make sure that he himself is not committing that very sin that he's forbidding the people from that sin. For example, you yourself, you cheat. Okay? You cheat and you advise others. Whenever you come across someone and you know someone has cheated and you advise, you know, cheating is haram and this and that. But you're in first place, you yourself are cheating. You do not offer the salah, you do not establish your 5 daily prayers, and sometimes you pray all five prayers, sometimes you offer only 4, sometimes only 3. But amongst your relatives is someone who never offers any salah. It is not for you to advise them, please start, you know, being regular in your 5 daily. You yourself need to be basically sorting out yourself in first place. You need to be regular in your 5 daily prayers before you go ahead and advising others. And it does not mean that you do not advise others if you are committing a sin. No. It means basically you advise others while you rectify your mistakes as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Or you believed, why do you say what you do not do yourself? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is something that causes Allah's anger if you say what you do not know, what you do not do. You tell others to do this good, this good, this good, but when it comes to yourself, you basically do not fulfill those obligations. That is why the scholars have said that this is one of the conditions that the person who forbid the evil, he himself does not fall in that evil. The person who calls the others to a good, then the person must be doing that good himself. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the barakah in the person's da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to be amongst those who call others to the deen of Allah, to the tawheed of Allah, to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to rectify our mistakes and our errors. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand our deen and to act upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu sami'an qarib mujib. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.